You're listening to the Fearless Business Podcast. You're in the best place to learn about how to grow a business, get more clients, and make more money without fears and limitations, all while having fun in the process. Robin Waite is the founder of Fearless Business, a business accelerator helping coaches, consultants, and freelancers double their income and more. Now here's your host, Robin Waite.
So I've been at Disney now for, in Florida now for 8 days. So, and we've done 3 out of the 4 parks, various other things like that. So I thought what I would do is I would share some of the lessons which I've learned from Disney, one of which actually ties in quite nicely with, I think 3 people have posted similar sorts of comments about launching something and then immediately discounting it. So that ties in with one of the things which I'm going to be talking about today, about my lessons from Disney. So one of the first things which is very apparent is there's just extraordinary demand for Disney here, like incredible demand. It's just because the parks obviously have a limited amount of capacity for the number of people that they can take. And then there's so many different rides and things to experience here. It's unreal. Probably on each of the parks, there's only a select few like big, really big rides. Like Epcot today, they've got, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think there's one other big ride. So whilst the parks are like, there's 4 parks, they're massive, there's probably only like 3 or 4 really big experiences on each park. So if you actually want to see those, you have to, we've paid a crazy amount of money. If you think about it in terms of like theme parks, it's a lot of money when you look at the likes of Alton Towers and stuff like that in the UK. Disney's like on a whole totally different level. But we've paid, I think, about $2,000 for a 14-day pass to Disney. So there's a lot of money. But not only that, if you actually want to get on those 3 or 4 big experiences on each park, you've got to be on the Disney app. At 6:58 this morning, we were logged onto the Disney app trying to get onto the Lightning Lanes. In order to book Lightning Lanes, you have to have the Genie Plus upgrade, and each one of these things, by the way, is more money. So on top of the $2,000 you've already spent, they're already upselling you if you then want to go and experience, like, you know, the next level up, right? And you can all be introducing elements of this into your businesses in some way, shape, or form. It doesn't matter what you do, right? So I do it in a very small way. I only have 2 core products. So I have the Group Accelerator, which many of you are on, and I have 1-to-1. I've had both of those for a very long period of time. More recently, I've introduced like a small upgrade on the group, because there are some people who they just want a bit more of a personalized experience, which I guess that the equivalent of that with Disney is like Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes gives you that more personalized experience. So, for example, with me, I've included like a hybrid version of group and 1-to-1, which is basically you get 4 1-to-1s with me, breakthrough sessions throughout the first 12 months you're with me. And there's a small fee to upgrade. And there's a lot of extra value added within that as well. Like I was looking at the price and think, God, in its own right, like, because you have to buy Genie Plus for a day, and then you can upgrade. So you get a couple of Lightning Lanes within that, but then you have to pay for any additional Lightning Lanes, right? And it's not cheap. It's like Genie Plus is another, I think, $36 per person, and there's no discounts for children per day if you book Genie Plus, right? We've only done it probably, like, we had like 4, we're going to have 4 core days, 1 at each park. So we'll upgrade Genie Plus on all of those. But if you add all of that up, we're spending close to like an extra $1,000 just on those upgrades alone. So you can see why Disney is like, why they've got so much cash. And it's not just the upgrades. So we went to Epcot to do the fireworks on whatever night was it. So that's all included. So you can get into the park, you can go and see the fireworks. But then we thought, oh, we'll go and have supper whilst we're there. And of course, which supper did we choose? We went to Epcot. If you're not familiar with it, they've got, I think, a dozen different countries spread around the big lake, the park. The United Kingdom is one of those. So we went to the UK so we could have fish and chips, right? Staple diet for Brits. The interesting thing was, like, we went around a couple of the different countries as well, but every country, they have nationals from each country. So we got there and everybody at the UK themed area was all speaking with an English accent. It was brilliant. And we went to the Spanish one, they're all speaking Spanish. the Finnish one. They're all speaking Finnish there, which was amazing. But the food, right? So we bought two portions of fish and chips, which was plenty enough between the four of us. That was like $30 alone. That was without drinks. That was just for two portions of like fish and chips. So you're thinking like, all the while, because they've got such high demand and a captive audience with all of these different upgrades, it's like, I just imagine like being the accountant at that place and cha-ching, like it's literally just like a money-making machine. And I think sometimes, so how's this relevant to like Fearless and what we talk about here? So we have, or part of the product architecture model, you have your core offer, so your 3 to 5 core products. Then what you have is then your follow-on products, which sit behind that, okay? And I think a lot of the time, you as Fearless crew, you're more in tune with this because this is what I teach you here on the program, is to focus on like what happens next. But too many business owners I've noticed are like, because they're in such scarcity mindset, they're like sell cycle of doom, sell, deliver. They're only focused on core products. They're not focused on the ups. They don't take the time to do upsells and to get, and also to deliver such remarkable value that people are willing to pay for like ongoing stuff afterwards. Like we're here at Disney. I'm certainly far from being Mr. Moneybags, right? It's taken us 3 years to save up to pay to get here with all of the flights, Disney, the Airbnb, and like for everything. And you could take out a small mortgage to pay for all of the upgrades. But we're here and we just thought, fuck it. Like to get the full experience and to make it such amazing for the children, we're here. We might as well just spend the money. And that's kind of and you kind of almost want your clients to get to that point where they're so bought into your brand and the experience of working with you that it's a no-brainer, that there's so much value there in spending on the extras that they don't even hesitate. That's like the ultimate of where you want to get to with your follow-on products, right? So that's one of the first things. The second thing is like just purely based on like supply and demand. So the two words I want you to remember is latent demand, or are latent demand, I should say, the two words. So latent demand is essentially like, and some of you will have heard me talk about this before, discounts and pricing do not attract buyers. It wouldn't have mattered if Disney offered us, probably if we were already of the mindset of we're going to be here anyway, and then we got, I don't know, some kind of a discount off the overall ticket price, maybe we probably would have bought that, I would have thought. But it wasn't the thing which made us buy. We were coming here anyway. Does that make sense? So when you're selling, it's not the price or the discount which attracts people to buy. Oftentimes, it's just the fact that somebody's already bought and sold on your brand, and they are ready buyers. They might just, and so they're like nine-tenths of the way there, 90% of the way there. But you might just need to have a conversation with them just to alleviate any last worries or concerns or bits of anxiety just to get them over the line, okay? So latent demand, how latent demand works is it's a bit like, or the example I always use, it's a bit like a supermarket where people come into the shop to buy their bread and milk and they walk past the beans aisle and go, oh, there's a 2-for-1 on beans. I'll go and buy a couple of tins of beans. Right, the demand is already there because there are people in the shop. It wasn't the fact that Heinz had a 2-for-1 offer on beans that drew people into the shop. It's the fact that people are already in there and they just happen to see that, so they buy their beans. Right, offering discounts does not attract people in. You need to make sure. And there was a question in the WhatsApp I spotted. I think it was from you, Amy, about, you know, is it 600 or 900 or 1200 or whatever? You've got to price that based on what is economically viable for your business, right? So if you want to get 10 people onto a call, onto a workshop, and you want to make 10K from that, well, the price is a grand because economically that's what stacks up for your business. We don't price based on what we think is going to be attractive to the end client, okay? Now, if it was 10K, we'd probably be on the realms of possibility, right? For that workshop. But when we're talking 600 quid, a grand, 1,200, 1,500, whatever, there's so little difference between those that it's not so much like that's not going to be the clincher, the thing which gets somebody over the line. And you did quite rightly, you put in there, well, I was thinking about doing a payment plan anyway. So I would go for the price which economically stacks up for your business and then structure an installment or payment plan that works then for the client. Okay? Because the price is attached to the value they're going to get, not what, how the price that they pay. Makes sense? So if economically what stacks up is £900, go for that, but offer them a 2 or 3 installment plan. Give them a choice. Say, well, you know, if you can't pay 900, no problem. But if you can see the value in it, why don't we do a payment plan, which is 2, 3, or 4 installments? I'm happy to do that for you on this occasion. Yeah. So you're kind of co-creating a package which works for that client. I mean, Disney like just have extraordinary demand. How do they stimulate the demand? Okay, so question in the chat. How does Disney stimulate demand for the parks? They've got the lead magnets, movies. Yeah. Aspirational experiences, not just here at Disney, but globally, there are other Disney experiences. How many attractions? This amazed me. I was really surprised at this. I don't know why, but I was quite surprised at this. How many attractions do you go to where they're like, turn your phones off, no filming, can't take photos, blah, 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 blah. How many places do that? Disney, film whatever you like. Photograph as much as you like. In fact, what they do is they have professional photographers dotted all around the parks. You tap your card and you can have as many professionally taken photographs as you like with your family, because it's all about creating memories. What do you think is going to happen with those photographs? I'm going to share it. We're going to put it on socials. We're going to put it on, you know, share it with our family. We're going to send it to our friends. They're all going to get jealous because they're, you know, they're still in the UK in the cold, the rain. And I'm over here sunning it up in Florida with Mickey and friends, right? So they give away, they're doing things, creating marketing assets with you as a client, knowing that you're going to share it with everybody. Yet they've got long-standing reputation. Do you know, the first thing that happened within 15 minutes of me getting in the Uber to come back to my Airbnb here, Disney obviously track this in the app. They know when you're off-site. So within 15 minutes, I've had a message from each park saying, can you leave us a review? Can you fill out a survey? Tell us what you liked, what you didn't like. How smart is that? Another marketing asset closes the loop on the 7 steps in the product architecture model. And it's all fully automated. So, and you can create elements of this. So when you ask for reviews from your clients, you can automate that as well. What happens to those reviews? They get pumped straight out onto social. Robin came to Disney with his family, said that, you know, the Avatar experience was epic, unmissable. Happy to spend the extra $200 on Genie Plus alone that day just to go and do the Avatar ride, right? I mean, I know Disney have got a significant amount of money, but the apps and how they structure them in terms of like, they act like a wait list. So Dan Priestley talks about this a lot. They build up like, because they know that the queuing system, so the app is all predicated around like, if you want to go into a standby lane, which basically if you don't have Lightning Plus or the Lightning Lanes, you go into the standby lane. So Lightning Lanes get straight through to the front. Standby lanes, you have to stand there and wait until all the Lightning Lanes have gone, and then it's your go, right? So on the app, in big, and they even have it on a map, everything is predicated around the standby lane. So they're stimulating demand. They want you to draw your attention to, as the wait lines start to go up, the queuing starts to go up, they want you to like panic a little bit and then like, oh, we've got to go over to that ride now. It's got up to like 30 minutes wait time. Kids will get bored after that. We need to get there now. So they're constantly figuring out how to create like wait lists, stimulate demand. It's all done technologically through the app. So FOMO is like a big part about sort of being here, you know, as an experience. You know, even the mere fact I'm here now, I know my family are off to Epcot. I'm a little bit like, oh, I wonder what I'm missing out on. I can forego the Frozen ride, but there was the Ratatouille experience where I was like, oh, that sounds really fun. And I'm probably going to miss that today, which I'm a bit gutted about, but I get to do Guardians of the Galaxy, right? So the whole thing is about like this energy, this like, you know, vibe around like creating demand. It's really fascinating. The branding, obviously, as you can see, it's like, I knew that there was going to be a number of people there with like Disney related stuff there, but everybody is dressed up. Like, it's not just about sort of being there in the moment. It's about like just immersing yourself in the whole experience. It's like phenomenal. So yeah, so there's so many lessons to be learned from the whole experience here. Hopefully you've got a couple of ideas there. In fact, out of me just sort of speaking there for 15 minutes about my Disney experience, what's one thing that you're going to take from that and implement in your business? You know, the thing about upsells is, so I used to do this in my marketing agency days. Actually, I haven't talked about this for a long time. I might try and dig it out. I'm sure I've got an electronic version of it somewhere. So we used to do a one-day branding workshop. back in the day. And I created like a brochure. It's about 8 or 12 pages, I think, of a brochure. It walked clients through the process. But one of the cool things at the back of it, and this is something which I talk about actually in the portal, so you may be familiar with this, some of you. I created like an application form, a sign-up form. So clients would choose, they'd be like, right, we want to go ahead with the one-day branding workshop, sign and date it. There was a couple of things which we also put in there, like the agreement, like I talk about in Take Your Shot with Russ, what they had to do, what we were going to do. But and I stumbled across this entirely by accident, right? And you can build mechanisms into your business that automate things like upsells, okay? So we had it, we had three tick boxes. So we had the one-day branding workshop. So they would tick the one-day branding workshop, sign and date it. And then two other tick boxes. We had day two, which is where we did like flat pack design. So business cards, letterheads, anything basically that was 2D and printed, we would run those off in a day. We would design them for the client in a day. And then day three, we had the brochure day. So we would design an 8 to 12 page brochure. Oh, that's cool. I just had balloons coming off. How did I do that? Is that because I celebrated or something? I don't know. Quite apt for Disney as well. We had day three, which was the brochure day. And so I'd let them sign and date it and tick the box for the one-day branding workshop. And then I just thought, why aren't people up selling, like signing up to the other days? So I just said this line. I said, listen, at least half of our clients typically go on to do days two and three as well as day one. So like all 3 days. If you tick one or both of those boxes now, I'll give you £250 off the full package price. And we'd already built in, because our one-day branding workshop was expensive, we kind of already built the margin into that. So I didn't care about the 250. If somebody, we were almost better off if they didn't tick the box, because we would make an extra £250. It was remarkable. About 4 out of every 5 people would tick at least one of the other boxes. Think about that as a simple mechanism for upsells. So again, you're kind of showing people what they can have. So you get like Disney, you get into the park, you can see all these amazing things. And it's like, oh, you can't get on them for an hour and a half. But if you sign up to Genie Plus and book your lightning lane, you can go straight in. Yeah. So you can build those mechanisms of upsells into your business as well, as a logical sort of next step. Like I was saying about like sign up for the group. Oh, you feel you might need a bit of extra help one-to-one. No problem. We've got something for that. I don't know if you caught the sentiment of that message there, which is when somebody has already made the decision to buy, hit them with the upsell and be proactive about it. So this is something actually which we talk about a lot in Bill's program. So obviously Bill works with dog groomers, predominantly pet groomers. So he waits till people have booked the appointment, and then we tell all of our clients in Pet Passions Profit to call people a day before and say, oh, by the way, Fifi's, you know, booked in for her groom tomorrow. Would you like us to trim her nails and clean her teeth? So you wait until we've got that yes, and then we upsell.